Okay, today's daf is Yuma Daf Lamed Zayin. We are holding Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. We got to the two dots about 10 lines down at the top of the page. We're up to Vehein Einem Acharav. In the Mishnah, we discussed that after the Kohen Gadol would say the Shem Hashem, the Am would respond Baruch Shem Kivay Machos Olam Ved. Says Gemara Tanya Rabbi Aimer Ki Shem Hashem Ekor Havu Gadol Akenu. The famous pasuk that when I call out the name of Hashem, give greatness. Proclaim greatness in the name of Hashem. When I mention the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Atem Hovu Gadol, you give greatness. So when the Kohen Gadol says that Hashem Hashem, that's why the people who gather around would say Baruch Shein Kivay Machazon Ved. Chanina, the first one explained that this comes from the pasuk that says in Nehemia, "Vivorchu Shein Kivay Decha Umereimem Al Kol Baruch Asilo." So Baruch Shein Kivay Machos Olam Ved represents that pasuk of "Vivorchu Shein Kivay Decha Umereimem Al Kol Baruch Asilo." We know we spoke this out, and I think it was after the shir, the other day before Yantiv, we spoke out that was actually the response to every bracha in the Beis Hamikdash, not just Shem Hashem, was instead of Amen, it was a special response of Baruch Shein Kivay Machos Olam Ved. But now we're saying specifically when one hears the Shem Hashem, he should say this nusach of Baruch Shein Kivay Machos Olam Ved. Actually, people till today, there's a hanhaga that if someone chalila says a misplaced bracha or says a Shem Hashem, so if it's in the context where he could finish up in the form of a pasuk like Baruch Atah Hashem Lamdeinu Chukecha, so he says Lamdeinu Chukecha, that's the end of that. That would complete a pasuk of Tehillim, and that would be taking away a problem of saying Shem Hashem in vain. But if one cannot come up, let's say he said he really went too far in the bracha, he can't do that. So what often people do is they'll say Baruch Shem after saying the Shem Hashem in vain as well. The idea l'chur comes from this Gemara. Says Gemara further, Chanani ben Achi Rabbi Shua Omer Zecher Tzadik Levracha. That we know the pasuk says that Zecher Tzadik Levracha. That's a pasuk in Mishlei. Amem Rav Yisrael, so Rav Yisrael Kaisol, B'shashin Yimaska Tzadik Olamim. When I mentioned the Tzadik Olamim, of course, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Tzadik of all worlds, Atem Tidu Bracha, make sure to give a bracha. Again, just a separate source. Ki Shem Hashem Ekor is one source. Tzadik, Zeich Tzadik of Bracha is another source. But when the Shem Hashem is mentioned, we should say Baruch Shem. Okay, Zak to Mishnah. We're further with the Kohen Gadol's Aveda. We're up to now the two goats, the two Seirim, the two male goats that are used. One's going to go Lashem as a carbon, Chatas, one's going to go Hazazel, over the side of the mountain. And of course, you know, famously, there was the Geirel, so the goats were stood up side by side, and they did the Geirel, says the Mishnah. Balei, when the Mishnah Lama Zayin Manalf, Balei Lemizr Chazabra, the Kohen Gadol went to the eastern part of the Azara, Lutzafen Mizbeach. So now the Kohen went, till now he's been, the last Mishnah we're discussing, him doing his para, the para was being done on the western part of the, between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, on the western side of the Mizbeach. Now actually, the Geirel for the two serum was done on the eastern part of the Azara. He went to the north of the Mizbeach on the eastern side of the Azara. Gemara doesn't explain more specifically where exactly the spot is. Haskam Miminai, Kohen Gadol didn't go himself. He actually had the Skan Kohen Gadol on his right side. Veresh Beisav, especially, and the Veresh Beisav, that's the family that was on Kol. We used to have Mishmaris, and the Mishmar on Kol, so you'd have each Mishmar would have different Beis Avs, different six different heads, six different families that were divided to have the days of the week. And the Reish of the Beis Av, that whose day would have been, was supposed to be on Yom Kippur, so he comes and he stands on the other side of the Kohen Gadol. V'sham Shnei Seirim, he stands on the left side, and over there were two he-goats. Uklape, Ayisham, there was a box there for the lottery. Uvem Shnei Girls, and in the box were these two lots. One of them said, of course, Lashem. One of them said, Lazazel. V'shal Ashkohayu, the lots used to be made just of boxwood. V'asa Ben Gamla Shazav, and Ben Gamla went and he switched them to Zav. He upgraded the box from just box wood to gold, and he was remembered for doing a beautiful thing. He said, he upgraded it to gold, and he's remembered for a beautiful thing for upgrading the status, the level of the box that was holding the lottery. And once we're on the topic, we're going to mention a few other cases in the Mishnah of people that are remembered for good. Says the Mishnah further, Ben Katan, we had this recently, that Ben Katan added 12 spouts to the kir. There used to be two spouts. He added Shle Hashem El Shnayim. The original only two spouts on the kir, and he added another 10. There should be 12 spouts on the kir. Why 12? So we know there were 13 kohanim that were involved in the tumen in the morning. 9 with actual tumen with different components carrying it up the ramp. But then there's of course the other 4 avodas: the dishan of the mizbech haprimi, the dishan of the mizbech chitzen, the dishan of the menorah. There was other different. There was the one who did zrika, the one who did kabbalah. There was the 13th, namely the one of the Shechita. But the 13th, the one of the Shechita, wasn't counted, didn't have a spout, because even though it was typically done by Kayin, L'chaira, it didn't have to be done by Kayin. If it didn't have to be done by Kayin, it certainly didn't need a person who was, did Kiddush Yad of Raglev. If it wasn't even done by Kayin, it could be done by a non-Kayin. And therefore, there were 12 spouts, we didn't need a 13th one for the Shechit. So, Ben Katan Asa Shtei Masar, dad l'kir. Again, Mekata made 12 spats for the kir for the 12 people that needed to have kisha dad rilayim. Of course, if it was being done by Kayan and he was the sheikhet, he presumably would also.
Just as an aside, if somebody was going to shecht a czar, he would have to be kiddush yad of rilayim. He just wouldn't be able to do it from the kir anyway.
Fine, correct. Why are you saying he has to do kisha dad rilayim? He has to be tar. I'm not sure why he's saying he has to kishur.
Yeah, zich has to be tar, like the sheet is ben zayma and the chachamim.
Mm-hmm.
And lechari is tar kiddush yad of rilayim with that.
Right.
Chayre. It's an avoid. It's just that he can't get to the kiyah.
Correct. So therefore, he only had to have 12 spouts instead of the original two. Shleihem el shnayim. The original was only two. Vafu was a mukhli kir. Further, Ben Katta made a mukhni. Mukhni means almost like a mechonit, like a machine. But it was really a pulley system on a wheel. We'll see in the Gemara. It was a pulley system on a wheel. Shleihem mayimab v'salam belina. We know anything that becomes kaddish in the klisharis, once it gets kedusha, if it's not used that day, by night, it gets psalina. So in order that the water shouldn't get psalina every night, he created a pulley system that he was able to lower it down into the spring of water that was beneath it, and then once it was lowered down to the spring of water, it wouldn't get up psalina. Mumbaz HaMelech, he made Isaac Yadis Kalim, he made all the handles of the Kalim, Shem Kippurim Shazav, that were used from Kippur. He made them all out of gold to make it beautify the handles of the Kalim used from Kippur. Helen Ima and his mother Helaini, she did a few things. Us and Aveshi Shazav, first of all, she made like a golden candelabra that was put al Pesach Hechel over the entrance of the Hechel, and we'll see the more about what it served. It served a purpose to shine like besides being beautiful, it also shined a light, and they knew when Aleis HaShach was based on that candelabra. She also made a tablet of gold, which had the parsha saita written on it, because whenever they used to have a situation where a woman was a saita, they would have to write the parsha and scrape it off the ink from the parsha onto the water, but they needed to have handy a parsha to copy from. So she made a tablet of gold to have a parsha that they could use as a source to look at as a reference. And that was her other contribution. Lastly, in the Mishnah says, Nikner, of course, famous Nikner, Shar Nikner, Nasu Nisim Adlaizab. There was Nisim that happened with the doors he donated. We'll speak more about that in the Gemara. Hopefully, we get to tonight. It's really top of Lamech Chesem and Aleph. Vaymaskirnes Lashvach. And again, all these people remember the Shvach. That's why it comes up over here, because we mentioned that the person who donated, Ben Gamla, who donated the box, from the box, switched it from wood to gold. Was remember the Shvach? So we mentioned all these other people that donated anything to the Mikdash that also were, remembered for Shvach. Okay, for praise. So, Akdumar. Back to the first of the Mishnah, that the Kohen Gadol went, and he took the two serum on the eastern, northeastern side of the Mizbeach, and that's where he set them up for the lottery. In fact, he said it's the Safa Mizbeach, Machal Mizbeach, Lav Safa Nami. The Lashon of the Mishnah, which is that the Kohen Gadol went to the north of the Mizbeach, is mashman the Mizbeach itself was not in the north. Remember, it's an interesting diak. It's mashman the Mizbeach itself was not in the north, and therefore, by going to the north of the Mizbeach, only then would he be, then he'd be in the north. Meaning, if the Mizbeach itself was in the north, then he wouldn't have to go fully to the north of the Mizbeach. He can go to the east of the Mizbeach and be in the upper half, near the top of the Mizbeach, and still be in the north. Right, the fact that the Lashon Mishnah was north of the Mizbeach is Mashmash Mizbeach itself is not north at all. Man, who's the author? We had this Machlokes already. Rabbi Yaakov, the time he went to Beisa, Tzafein Lefnei Hashem. The pasuk says they Sheshech the carbon Tzafein north of the Mizbeach Lefnei Hashem. Lefnei Hashem, of course, means corresponding the El Mayit, corresponding the Heichel. She Tzafen Kulei Panei. So he darshes that the Tzafen was fully empty, even for the Mizbeach. Divrei Rabbi Yaakov, which means that if you're going back to our chart. So we have, of course, the Mizbeach, the ramp was on the southern part, going up towards up to the Mizbeach itself. And we're saying that it started all the way, the whole entire area from north to south was 135 amas. We've spoken out multiple times that the ramp was, and the Mizbeach together took up roughly 62 amas, 32 amas for the Mizbeach, 30 amas for the ramp. That was the length, even though the ramp was on an angle, but it took up on ground-wise 30 amas, so 62 amas. So the entire southern side was 67.5 amas. Obviously, the Mizbeach started very close to the southern wall. It ended before the midway point, or by the midway point on the north-south of the Azara, by the midway point in the middle. So north of the Mizbeach would still be very clearly the Fnei Hashem, corresponding the Heichel. And that whole area above the Mizbeach, according to Rabbi Yaakov, was empty. So when we say the Kohen went north of the Mizbeach to the east, it's going to go to Yaakov. What's the obvious problem? We just had 2 days ago that when we spoke about, we referenced it when we started today, about the par that the Kohen Gadol did, that he did smicha on the par, and he was situated between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, between the Mizbeach to the west, towards the Ulam. So we spoke out that the Mizbeach was really further north than the Azara, and between the woman and the Mizbeach would be a little higher up, not necessarily corresponding the Mizbeach's height, didn't necessarily that, well, the, I shouldn't say height, but the tippy, the most northern part of the Mizbeach was perhaps over, above the opening of the Heichal, and this person between the Ulam Mizbeach was at that area, not necessarily corresponding the opening to the Heichal. But the main point is that it was clear in that discussion that what's called north of the Azara includes the area in between the Mizbeach and in between the Heichal, the area to the west of the Mizbeach, and we said that goes specifically like Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. So is the author of Mishnah Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, or is the author of Mishnah Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov? Asked the Gemara, how Reisha was Rav Shimon, and didn't we reestablish that the Reisha, the Mishnah was Rabbi Shimon? We discussed, if you remember, we said maybe it's not just Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, it could also be Rebbe. Rebbe added that the north area for Shechting, or Kabbalah, the Smicha of Kachem Kachem, could even be on the eastern side of the Mizbeach. It just is, the Gemara really was just pointing out that it's certainly not Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi Yehuda, who said it's Dafka, the area directly above the Mizbeach. It's Dafka, the area directly above the Mizbeach. So he says it's specifically not Rabbi Yehuda, but it could be Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, and maybe even it could also be Rebbe. The problem our Gemara is bothered now is, and we're making it sound like a mission specifically like Rabbi Elazar Ben Yaakov, who's not like Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, answers the Gemara, you're right. Kula, Rabbi Elazar Ben Yaakov. I could tell you that it's all Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, v'tani b'vein ha'ulam v'mizbeach. Simple answer, it's all Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that the Mizbeach is within the southern part of the Azara, and we're talking about north of the Mizbeach. And when we said before that's between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, it didn't mean between the Ulam and the Mizbeach itself, right? It meant corresponding the area that would be between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, meaning the Mizbeach was lower down, but it's in the area, it meant in the terms of from east-west, in between where the Mizbeach was, at its point of the Azara, and in between where the Ulam was, at its point of the Azara, in between that area, that's where the Kayim was set up, but it wasn't Mamish in between, because it was further up, it was Taka further up to north, it wasn't in between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, because it was indeed higher up. So the Mishnah earlier could also go like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, we said Askam b'imin of Resh Beis Av, we said Askam was at the right of the Kayim Gadol, and the Reish Beis Av was to the left. The Gemara is going to focus over here now, next few lines, on the Derech of Kavod, when your person, the people are working with the Chacham, how he's supposed to set up. Amar Vida. Hamachli min Rabbi Herei Zabur. One who walks to the right of his Rebbe is a Bor. We know, of course, the Rebbe is supposed to be on the right, it's more Chashev, but more importantly, the Talmud is supposed to be able to Masharis the Rebbe. And typically, most people, their stronger hand is their right hand. So if he is on the Rebbe's left, his right hand is closer to his Rebbe to service the Rebbe. If he's on the Rebbe's right, so he's a boor because he's, first of all, not giving the rabbi the proper covering on the right side, but he's also not set up properly to service the rabbi. Okay, that's Rabbi Yehuda's memra. That is Rabbi Yehuda the Amira. Ask the Gemara of Kashmir Mishnah. Tanan, Haskam b'minai v'reish b'sav ismailai. We learned that Mishnah, the skan is b'minai, and the reish b'sav ismailai. Here we see very clearly the skan was walking right on the right side of the Kohen Gadol. So obviously that kasha would be, of course, is because when you have one person walking to the Kohen Gadol, he should be on the Kohen Gadol's left side, or on a Rebbe. When there's two people, so you can't, it's not, no mile to have both on the same left side, so you put one on each side, and the skam, because he's greater, will go on the right side. You could have said that as teretz, but the Mar anyway has another kasha. Oh, Tanya, Shleisha Yimachim, Medarech, three people walking on the road, Harav Em to the Rav's in the middle, Gadol be mean of Katam Espaili, the Gadol is on the right side, the Katam is on the left side, Vechemetzin of Shasha Machay, Hashari Shabbat, it's Avram Vino. Then we find the same thing by Shlosh Shabbat Chashash Bar Minu Michal Bem Tzavik Gavriel Mimina Rufal Bespoilay. Michal is in the middle, Gavriel is on the right, and Mismol and Rufal is on the left. So the question is, why would Rabbi Yehuda say that a Talmud walks on the side of his Rebbe? And this is what the main point is. The Gemara's understanding in Rabbi Yehuda, that's what the Gemara is adding with this question, is that being on the side of the Rebbe itself is a problem. It's not so much being on the right side. It's Michal being on the side. You're not supposed to be on the side of the Rebbe. You should be behind him. You should be on the side. Here we have multiple Gemara's, multiple references about a Rebbe walking. The Brisa says a Rebbe is walking, and one Talmud is on the right, one Talmud, the greater Talmud on the right, less Talmud on the left. By the Malach Avram Vino, greater, one Malach is on the right, one Malach is on the left. So how's that Shimon reviewed the Damayr's Memra, that a Talmud should never be on the side of his Rebbe? Answers the Gemara Tigma of Shmuel Bar Papa, Kamedra of Ada, Kadeshi's Chasa by Rabbi. Itaka doesn't mean Mamish directly to the right. It meant they were a little bit behind the teacher. They were behind the teacher, like, almost in a way they would be covering the teacher from behind. So if you have two Talmidim, they'd each be a little bit behind the Rebbe, and we're like the two of them, almost like bricks. Like you overlap bricks, you know, you put a brick and the two bricks on top of it, so each one is halfway on top. The two Talmidim would be a little bit behind, and so to speak, blocking the Rebbe from behind. That's how he understands. In fact, Vatanya Malch Kneg Rabbi, Harei Zabur, one who walks next to his teacher's Zabur. So that's a Brisa, which fits like Rebbe Yehuda's Memra. But look at the next words. Achayir Rabbi, one who's behind his Rebbe, Harei Zemekasa Ruach. He's arrogant if he's walking behind his Rebbe. That's not an option either. So really, we're left without that many choices. Side the Rebbe's no good, behind the Rebbe's no good. It's Pasha, in front of the Rebbe's no good. Says the Gemara, the Mitzadi at Stud, very interesting. A person's supposed to walk on the side of his Rebbe, like on an angle. Like, I don't know if it means Mamish, he stands on an angle, but it means part of his body should be a drop behind and part to the side. He shouldn't be fully on the side, and he shouldn't be fully behind. He should be part and part. That's the most ultimate answer. So yes, you can have one Talmud on the right and one Talmud on the left, but the Talmidim should be set up as being kind of part behind and part to the side. Which, if you think about it, actually, it's very understandable. It's a perfect scenario, Derech Kavod. They're to the side, but they're a drop behind, they're partially behind. It's like they're kind of an entourage behind him, but they're also a little bit to the side. They're not fully behind him. That is the explanation the Gemara gives, the proper way to walk with a teacher. There was a box there in which in the box, by the way, before we get there, actually, there was a question that we had, a Gemara in Brachas. The freshman discussed the question, we had Gemara in Brachas, not Mavav, we Gemara discusses, that on the streets, I feel like we had it more recently also, since Brachas, but we definitely had a Brachas, I feel like I forgot exactly where we had it more recently. When it comes to the streets, there's no din of covet. When it comes to Mahalch B'derech, there's no chiv of covet of giving, letting someone walk in. Let's say there's a Gemara discusses, two people came to the entranceway, and one of them was more chashv the other, and the more chashv one, the less chashv one did not give precedence to the more chashv one to go in first, because when you're on the bederech, there's no din. When you're traveling on the road, there isn't a din of giving kavod to the rabbi. So the question is, so why over here we're talking about walking in the derech, and over here we're discussing exactly the proper way to give kavod to the rabbi on how to walk. So you could say over there they were riding on donkeys or whatever it was, it could be different, but the first thing they say, the Rishonim say, they want to answer, there's a difference between when someone is walking lechatchila, or you bump into each other on the road. When you're walking together lechatchila, then avada, you should give kavod to the rabbi. When you happen to be on the road and you bump in, well, but there, the regular derech kavod of rabbi, the zinim don't necessarily, the chiv doesn't apply. But when you left together, when you're going from place to place, you're traveling lechatchila together, over there, that's where these dinim we just discussed apply. Klapi Isa Sham Ubashne Garel. So there's a box there with two gorillas. Tanar Baran, Vinasa Iron Ashtake Seerim Gorillas. It's possible because Iron should put on the two Seerim, Gorillas, plural. Gorillas, so first we learn out, Gorillas should call Dever. The girl could be made of any materials. Yachli Yitain Shnayim Azev Shnayim Azev. Now the Lashon's Mashma, like we Medayik, plural, you should put two girls on this animal and two girls on that animal, which sounds pretty funny. That won't be the point. The whole point of a girl is to determine which animal is going to go Lazazel, which animal is going to go Hashem. So the Rishonim already discussed this. Rashi gives a pshat. Rashi says what it means is that he would just be Yitzah by putting the words the girl Hashem. He'd have two lots with the word girl Hashem written, two with the word Lazazel written. He put each one of them, each pair would be attached. He put each pair on each animal, and then he would actually just choose. He would have the option of doing whichever one he wants, Lashem, which one is Lazazel, and he would choose. So it was almost like a formality, right? They went through the motions of having these lotteries, but it wasn't really being picked like a raffle at all. That is one malach, that's for this Gemara's Havamina, that you'd actually put both lots on both animals. That's Rashi's malach. Others want to say that the Kohen Gadol would taka put one on each. He'd put one, let's say Hashem on one, Lazazel on the other, and then see which is Hashem, which is Lazazel. And once you already determine which is Hashem, which is Lazazel, he would then, to be Yates the Lashon HaKra, he would put the opposite one on each animal. He'd put the lotto raffle ticket that says, that card that says Lashem, he'd put it on Lazazel, and he put Lazazel on Lashem. That would just be satisfying the Lashon HaPasuk of putting gorillas. So according to this Malach, and this Malach brought that by, it's really based on Yishalmi, so I'm trying to bring it. So this Malach would be, the lottery would be determining, even this Havamina, which is Lashem, which is Lazazel, but you'd also maybe be placing both types of lotto tickets on each animal after it was determined. Either way, the Havamina was you should be using both gorillas on both animals. And again, according to Rashi, you wasn't determining at all. You just pick whichever you want. According to the Rishami, if you determined which one was which, you would add the other type of lottery onto each animal, so each one would ultimately have both on them. Says the Gemara, no. Tamil Gemara, Gerel Echad Hashem v'Gerel Echad Lazazel. It says Gerel Echad, Ein Kan Lashem El Gerel Echad, Ein Kan Lazazel Gerel Echad. It's only one with each type. You only have one Lazazel and one Lashem. Okay, still, maybe still put each one of these, you put the Lashem Azazel on this one, and the Lashem Azazel on that one, says Gemara, you have two Lashaynas. It wasn't just Lashem Echad, the word Geirul in this pasuk is singular too. Tamalemer, Geirul Echad, Lashem, Einka Lashem Alechad, Veinka Azazel Echad. The Lashem of Geirul Echad is like a double singular. Geirul and Echad is telling me that it's got to be only one on each, only each one gets only one Geirul, each one gets only Lashem, only or only lazazel. Says the Gemara, but then back to the question, which really got us on this tangent in the first place. The word geirolis is plural. Im kematam lebe geirolis, plural. Shiushavin just means that the two lots should be identical. You shouldn't make one of them made of gold, the one that says Hashem of gold, let's say, and the one that says lazazel of silver, or vice versa. They have to be the same material, the two lotteries, these two lots. Echad gadol vechatan, nor should you make one big and one small, rather they should both be the same size in order that it should be a proper lottery. That's what the plural gorillas means. They should be identical, but not that you'd put multiple gorillas on each animal. Gorillas called hover. We said earlier in this memra, in this brisa, that gorillas can be made of any material. Pshita, what's the chiddush? What's the amina? Let's read the chitanya. We learned the fishal mitzina, but sits, shashem kasav alav. We find the lagabi that sits, which goes in the kohen gadol's head. Over there, since the shem hashem is written, vushazav, I shouldn't say since, but over there, shem hashem is written on it, and it's made out of gold. So yachav zakein. It's just like we know that sits is made of gold. Of course, we've been very busy discussing the shemayna begadim, the kohen gadol goes in, does not go in with the five vilfim, and kippi goes only to four big day lovan, but throughout the day, switches back forth, so that of course the tzitz was part of what's termed the big day zav, right? So that was made out of gold. So yachav zekein sot over here, since you're writing one of the girls Lashem, it should have to be made out of gold. Tam lemigur girl riba shazayis riba shagash riba shashkayra. It says the word girl multiple times, three times, to teach me that it can be made from any other types of materials. And the Gemara lists three types of wood. Zayis is olive wood, egers is walnut wood, is nut wood, and ashkara is boxwood. Those different materials could be what the lotteries are made out of. Benkata Hashem asked the Kir. Benkata made 12 spouts for the Kir. Tanya, Kedeshu Hashem asked the Echav, Shashem asked the Echav Kainim, Hasukha Batamid, the 12 kind of the Isaac Batamid, Mekachi, Devrek Lim, Vazachas, they can make Kadash hands and feet, all of them at the same time, and not have to wait for other people. We pointed out before, and he didn't make a special one for the Sheikhet, because the Sheikhet wasn't a Kain, and wouldn't have to, was Liza, wanted to add, he wouldn't be able to even get there, he wouldn't do Kedesh Yadai Vreglaim. Says the Gemara, Mekachi, Devrek Lim, Vazachas, Tana, Shachas, Bimlui, in the morning, when the Kir was fully full, so there was more, the water level was higher, so they would use the spouts that were higher up. Makachi other raglum and elyon. They'd use the upper spouts in order to let the water drip go onto their hands and feet. Arvis, in the evening, when the water level was much lower, Biridasai, they would use the lower level spouts, Makadash Yadaraglov, Minatahtan. When the water level went down, there'd be Makash Yadaraglov from the Matahtan, from the lower level spout. The Afhu Asa Mukhni Akir, and this Ben Katin also made a Mukhni Akir. My Mukhni was Mukhni, Amar Baye, Galgudhavim Shakabalay. It was a wheel that he was able to turn to put the water, to put the kir, the full kir, to submerge it back in the water, and therefore wouldn't get up Selena. Mumbaz, Hamelech Asa Kol Yadis Kelim. Mumbaz Hamelech made handles, all the handles, the Kelim. He's Yom Kippur, he made them out of gold. Ask the Gemara. Once we see that Mumbaz was in a generous mood to try to make add gold to all the Kelim, the Gemara just bothered. Now, Dino to do Lazav, why do you only make the handles out of gold? Why didn't you make the entire Kelim out of Zav? I mean, it's not a Taina. It's not a Taina why he didn't. It's just a question. Once we see he's in a mood, Mumbaz Hamelech went tons of money to try to make things out of gold. So why just the handle? Why not go all the way and make the entire kalim that was being used on Yom Kippur out of Zav? It's ironic, whether, because we know sometimes we try to avoid Zav on Yom Kippur, but okay. Amar Baye, Biyade Sakinen. We're talking about the knives, top of Ambeis, Lamazan Ambeis on top. We're talking about the knives of the kalim of knives. So the knife of gold, you don't want the knife itself to be made of gold. The handle can be made of gold, but you don't want the knife to be made of gold. That's what we meant when we said he made the handles out of gold. It was the knives that he made specifically the handle, not the kli itself, because you don't want to make the knife itself, the cutting portion, out of gold. Ask the Gemara, we clearly have a price, it seems to be mashma. It was more than just knives that Mumbaz Hamelech made the handles of gold. Meis v'afu asa, Kaneb Kalim, the bases of the Kalim, Vaigne Kalim, and the grips of the Kalim, Vyodas Kalim, and the handles, Vyodas Akinim, and the handles of the knives. So clearly, handles of knives are mentioned, and there's other things being mentioned here too. Shem Kippur, Shel Zav, he made the Kalim, all these things of Yom Kippur out of Zav. So besides for the Yodas of Sakinim, there were the Yodas Kalim, and the bases of the Kalim, and the Aigne Kalim. So clearly, he did make other Yodas. So you back to the question, why didn't he make the full Kli? You want the answer to be Dafko's knives, but he did it to the Kalim as well. Says the Gemara, no, all the Kalim that we're referencing all had a cutting element to it, in which case you don't want to make the whole kli out of gold, because that's not good for cutting. Says the Gemara, Tergema Abaye Bekatsa the Gargi Vechatine. You're talking about adds, the axes. It was handles for the axes and the adds. These different utensils for cutting, and you don't want the cutting portion of it to be the cutting or chopping portion to be gold, and therefore just the handles and not the rest of it. Helene Asa, that's Helene was his mother, she made the Nevesha Shazav, she made this golden candelabrum which was put on top of the entrance to Hechel, Tana B'Shashacham Ezrachas, when the sun would first arise in the morning, Nitzaitis Yetzim Menu, sparkles reflected off this candelabrum, and everyone would know, It was a Giyah, the Zman Kriya Shema. Meis V'yesh L'mar Kasha, HaKoy V'yesh Shema, Shachar Tzvona says Shema in the morning, Im Anshi Mishmer, V'Anshi Maimed. If he goes to Anshi Mishmer, that's the Kahanim that were on call, or the Anshi Maimed, those little Israelim, that would correspond, those Kahanim, the families of Israelim, that would respond to Mishmerim. So if he said it at the time of those, either of those people, L'yatzeh is not Yaitzeh, it just means it's not Yaitzeh L'chatchila, the Mar explains. Meish Anshi Mishmer Mishkimim, the Anshi Mishmer were up very early, and they were, if you say Kriya Shema, when they get up, you said it a little bit too early. And Achimaimu Macher. Now, clearly, it doesn't mean they're Macher. They actually were davening Achimaimu. It doesn't mean they're Macher past Seis Makrishma. First, we speak out Chas Vashom, they go past Seis Makrishma. It just means it was after the most opportune time. Let's say we call the most opportune time Kivasikin. It wasn't necessarily then. So the point is that we're saying that the Anshi Mishmer and Anshi Maimed both were not saying Kriya Shema at the time where the light was shining on the Kan Lamrim, because the Anshi Mishmer was saying it earlier, Anshi Maimed was saying it later. So who's benefiting to know the exact time of the sunshine of Kriya Shema? Amar Abaye Lashar Amad Bishlayim. It still works for the other people in Shlayim. You're right, Anshi Mishmer and Anshi Maimed not, but the other people in Shlayim would use the rays of sun shining off of this Kan Lamrim in the entrance, that was by the entrance to the Heichel, and that when the light radiated, that would be for them a siman that's now it's time to say Kriya Shema. So work for the other people in Yerushalayim. Vafias the tablet. She also made a tablet. On the tablet was written the paragraphs in the Torah of the Saita. Says the Gemara, Shema Amina, Kais Megillah Tinnik L'Zamin Bay. We see you could write a portion of the Torah for a Tinnik for a child to learn from, because over here they are writing a portion of the Torah for the people writing the Parsha Saita to learn from. It's not a problem of writing a portion of a Torah. It's Gemara in Gittin on Daf Samach that as a Shaila whether or not it's permissible to write a portion of the Torah, or it's got to be written in complete form of the entire Torah. So we see the fact that she did it and they kept it would be an indication that it's permissible. Says the Gemara, no. Says the Gemara, Amr Shlakish, Meshur Rabbanai, Ba'alef Beis. They didn't write the entire Parsha. They didn't write the Parsha of Saita. Rather, it was written Ba'alef Beis. So it was written, the first letter of each word was written as that was a way for them to remember. If it said, let's just say Allah, one of the words of Allah, Allah Zayis, the Allah, so they write the word Aleph, letter Aleph, and that would remind them about the word Allah. That would be a way to remind him. But it wasn't the actual words. Whoever was doing the Saita process wasn't reading from a tablet. The tablet that Eleni Hamalka made was not the actual full words. It was just a reference point with the letters. Ask him where it's not true. The Brisa says that when the Kayim was writing the Saita paragraph for Saita purposes, he would look at what it says and write what it says. Isn't that pretty clear? He wrote what it says in the tablet. That would be the simple taich. Says the Gemara, no, don't taich with the simple taich. Make it a little bit of a deichik. Say, Ema Rei V'Kaisev K'mashikas V'Tablet. Write based on what it says on the tablet, based on the letters of the tablet that were the reference points, that were the abbreviations, that were the hints to the Parsha. That's what he wrote, but it wasn't exactly what's on the tablet, because the tablet, we're going to stick with our guns, just have the letters and not the full word. Ask the Gemara, we have a clear Brisa not like that. Meisvei Kishu Kaisev, when he writes the Parsha of the Saita, when the Kayim writes the Parsha of the Saita, Rei V'Kaisev That's so far the same. Uma kas of a tabla, but the Brisa continues says what was written on the tabla. Im shachav ish aysach vim loy shachav im satis im satis. Did the man lie with you? Did he not lie with you? Did you stray? Did you not stray? Pretty clear. The Brisa is saying that the full words, not just the letters that represent the first letter of each word, but the full words were being written on the tablet. Answers the Gemara. Hasam b'seirugim top of lamaches menalf. Hasam b'seirugim. That you're right. They wrote part of the words, but not full words. So b'serugim usually means like jumpy. The way they touch what that means is, let's say it says imlay shachav, and then that was written daka, but you didn't write a full pasuk. The end of that pasuk, only the first letter of each word was written, and then the next pasuk v'at kisatis. That's pasuk chav. Imlay shachav is pasuk yates, and they get to pasuk chav again. The first three words v'at kisatis, and then the rest of it was written only the beginning, the letters of each word. And Yitra Shema Yisrael, that's Pasuk Chaf Aleph, and Uba Mayim is Pasuk Chaf Beis. Again, the first words of each Pasuk were written fully out, but then the rest of it was only written, the first letters, so that fits the Lashon of that Brisa, because those words were the first words of the Pasuk, those Taka were written, but the rest of the Pasuk was not written out, so as long as you have only a few words of the Pasuk without the entire Pasuk being written, and certainly not the whole Parsha, that's not called by writing a Parsha outside the Torah, so it's no Raya to the discussion and get them Daf Samach, whether you can write a partial Parsha or not. Okay, let's see from the Gemara till the Mishnah, then we'll stop. Nikner, Nasu Nisa Madasa, Nikner had a nace happen when he went to get the doors. Tana Rabbanon, Manis Basla the Lisa, what needs to happen with the doors? Amru, they said, Kishalk Nikra the Havi Dasa Machzandri Shabzaim, when Nikra went to bring doors from the Alexandria of Mitzrayim, because he went there because that's where the major craftsmen were, that's where the fanciest materials were for doors. Chazrasa Amrulav Nachshol Shabiyam Latabai. On his way back, a big wave, the sea got very, very bumpy, and a big wave came threatened to drown him. And the Rebbe Emden is Medayik the Lashon of Nachshol came Shabiyam Latabai to drown him. Sounds like it was Dafka, it wasn't Stama. He happens to be, he was passing through a wave. Not that we say anything's ever punked, but it was very specific. It was there to test him, we'll see in the story, but it was there to test his because he, maybe Akash Baruch knew he could pass the test, which he did with flying colors. It was there to test him because of, to give him more schar, to see how dedicated he was. The Taisa Shanim actually adds that don't say Chas V'Shalom that it was a punishment for going to Mitzrayim. Because going to Mitzrayim temporarily for business purposes, in this case to get the doors, was it not be an issue. Living in Mitzrayim is an issue. Just visiting, going there temporarily would not be an issue. I don't know if we'll speak about it today because it's quite late. It's already 11 o'clock, but almost. We'll speak about maybe in the beginning of tomorrow's year. We'll speak more about living in Mitzrayim. But the Taisa Shanim just points out that don't say Chas V'Shalom. That's why this threat at sea came to him, because what he did was totally mutter, no problem going to Mitzrayim to get fancy materials. Okay, especially for the Beis Mikdash. Nalu achas mehem v'tluliyam. But because the sea was threatening to capsize them, the sailors took one of the doors and they threw into the sea to lighten the load that was on this boat. V'adayin l'nechayam mezafay. But the sea did not stop from its anger, so to speak, from its rage. And there was still a danger. Bikshul atel es chaverta. Sailors wanted to throw the second door as well. Amar hu v'karcha, Nikra went, he stood and he hugged the door. Amar lam, hitiluni ima, if you're going to throw it, throw me with it. Which is amazing, he was being meister nefesh. If you're going to, the shalos, even is how he's allowed to. How is he allowed to be meister nefesh for this? So the first one I want to say, I forgot where I saw it brought down, but they wanted to say that Kubi was mamish considered he felt it was a chil Hashem. If he went, it was famous that he was going to Alexandria to get the doors. He's going to come back without the doors. And you say, what happened? Because there was a big storm at sea and we had to throw it overboard. It would be a big bazillion that he went all the way there to get fancy doors, space of English, and the circumstances were such that had to be thrown overboard. And therefore, he felt, maybe I'll say, Chil Hashem. It was an issue. Either way, he was Meisad Efesh. He said, throw me off. If you want to throw it off, throw me with it. Miyad right away when he said that, the rage of the sea stopped, but he still was upset, of course, about the missing the chaverta, the first door that was thrown over. Once he reached the port of Akai, he noticed that the first door was poking out from under the walls of the ship. There was a nace that it followed along with under the boat, and it came the whole way. Some say, nah, it wasn't following along with the base of the ship, but something else happened. Some big creature of the sea swallowed it, and he threw it up on the dry land. Based on the second shot, that's what Shlema Melch said, Kairis Patina Razim, Roy Tain Embracem. Of course, it's a pasuk in Shir Shirim, where Shlema Melch was saying that the way we teach this pasuk, and we get a darshan, I'll take you Bracem. Don't teach it as Bracem, which means the Cyprus says, Ela Brias Hayam. The Brias Hayam swallowed up, the creature of the sea had swallowed up the Arazim. The beams of our house are cedar, and our doors are briyasim. We're swallowed up by the sea creatures, referring to the Sharnikner, the figure called Sharm Shayu Migdash. Therefore, all the gates of Migdash, eventually, when they had more money, the Shadow of the Sazav, Shazav, they changed to gold. Chutz b'Sharnikner, except for Sharnikner, they should ask about Nase, because that Nase happened to it, therefore, it wasn't changed to gold. Fiesh Emer, they left as is, because of the Nase. Fiesh Emer, some say, furthermore, the reason why it was changed to gold, because it was these beautiful copper doors from Mitzrayim, Meshach Chashashta, Mitzavis Haisa. The copper was so shiny, there was no need to replace it with gold. It looked like gold doors anyway, and it was so shiny, it had the same brilliance as had it been gold, and therefore no need to replace it. It was a refined copper, which shined like gold. So maybe I got ahead of myself. There's two different malchim, these two different opinions right at the end of here. Either it was a beautiful copper and there's no need to replace it because the copper was chashev, or Rebbe Zbach is adding, the copper looked like gold, as the chashev was, and therefore there's no need to replace it. But again, the first reason why we said not to replace it was stop over here. First reason why we didn't replace it was because an ace happened to it. Very interesting story with Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim was once learning the sugya of grasshoppers, and he needed to know what the grasshoppers looked like. Famous, famous story. And while he was learning, unbelievable, I don't know if he asked for it or while he's learning the sugya, grasshoppers jumped onto his windowsill on his apartment building. They jumped onto the windowsill. He was able to see exactly what he needed to see about the grasshoppers, and then they jumped away. And when they redid his apartment, they did construction, he asked them, he made a simple special mark on that wall, that they shouldn't touch down the wall. That was the wall that was nasa by nisim for him. He had nase over there, and therefore, like this Gemara, he didn't want that wall to be adulterated, to be touched at all. We'll pause over here. It's very late. We'll pick up tomorrow morning.